Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
I'm still hungry. I mean, we talked about food at the start of the show an hour ago, and usually I get to about 8:30 before I start feeling it, you know, because I keep thinking about food. I can't help it.
We've had lots of reasons to think about food today.
Some reason this morning. I'm just hungry.
Lots of conversations.
Well, what's going on? What's going on with now the latest poll you were just talking about?
All right.
About?
So speaking of food.
Yeah. Here we go.
I love the Twitter streets. They're great for thought-provoking conversation.
Yes.
Yesterday, a very interesting, apparently slightly polarizing question was posed on the Twitter streets. And it was about your practices when you go to a restaurant that serves bread before you take your order.
It's pretty much every restaurant.
Right. Like Cheesecake Factory, Outback, name your spot, right? Do you immediately eat the bread when it comes to your table? And is that tacky or not, Alan Hahn?
Do I immediately? Yeah. If you're hungry. Like if you show up and you're like, you know, I'm been waiting all day,
looking forward
whatever
to
you're doing, like you spend the whole day doing something with shopping or whatever it is, and you're like, let's just go to a restaurant, and that bread doesn't even, the plate doesn't even touch the table. And you know, if you have kids like I do, like there might be a crumb left, like their hands just reaching, ripping it apart, and next thing you know, there's nothing left of it. It's gone. The bread is fair game the minute it goes down on the table. All my opinion.
Okay.
Yours?
I'm with you. Cheesecake Factory, the brown loaf with the little oats on top. Like, that's my fave. Outback, the whole thing is brown.
Now,
Outback.
I don't believe, though, that you should overfill it. You should not fill up on bread because then it ruins the meal.
That is wise. I do not always take that advice. Because the bread's delicious.
But, all right, so what's the poll saying?
So the poll is that apparently that is tacky and that you should wait 5 minutes before indulging in the bread. Now, of this lovely person that put this Twitter poll out.
Who has no kids, clearly.
I guess, maybe. she got over 235,000 votes.
Wow.
97% of people said that you eat the bread immediately.
Yeah.
There's a 3% that apparently stands with her in solidarity that it is tacky to immediately grab the bread.
This 3% is definitely people that go hungry.
Listen.
Like, you're not going to get any. And by the way,
it's kind of free. You're paying for it.
There's no such thing as free, but okay. But still, normally when you get said bread, it is warm.
Hopefully.
If it's not.
What restaurant are you at?
Bring that bread. Exactly. But still, it's usually warm, and when it's warm, it's at its best.
Exactly.
Why am I waiting for it to cool off? Do I wait for the ice to melt in my water before I take a drink?
Listen, I don't know about this logic. You know, every day Twitter poses some great questions.
No, I don't like that one.
I had never thought that you don't grab the bread immediately.
Great question. It's one of those where you're like, this seemed like an obvious answer, but apparently 3%, which is a very, like, I would have never guessed the 3%. I figured 99%, because there's always the 1% of trolls that are like, I'm going to ruin this one.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm the one guy that's not going to vote for Derek Jeter for the Hall of Fame, right? Because I don't think he deserves 100%. There's always that one person that does that.
Mm-hmm.
But 3%?
Listen, it automatically sent me on the rabbit hole of where's the best bread.
Oh, boy.
Longhorn Steakhouse has really good rolls. I think the cheesecake bread is my favorite, the brown one, because it's warm and it's put a little butter on it.
Well, that's
you
got to tell me, are you serving it warm? If you're not, send it back.
who doesn't serve? I'm trying to think of anybody that doesn't.
Now, here's the other thing. If it's the bread thing, what about if you're going to like a Mexican place and they give you salsa?
Gone. I'm crushing
and chips.
Them on
Am
site.
I supposed to wait on the salsa and chips?
Listen, anything you bring me before my food comes is gone.
Especially when the chips are warm, like right out of
And can I have an order of guac to go with this salsa, this little teeny? And can you bring some more salsa? Because this little teeny tiny thing is not going to cut it for
right.
me. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, in fact, like then when like the meal comes, it's almost like I'm already full on salsa and chips. Just keep bringing that. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And now you wonder why I'm hungry. Because it seems to be all we ever talk about.
It's a hungry
show.
Hungry Wednesday.
And Key, please stop sending pictures of food that you're making this morning. So again, the bread conversation in one hand, the NBA finals in the other. So Giannis at the free throw line has become a thing now. And I wanted to see, because Hawks fans really got into it. Hawks fans were counting the 10-second violation that Giannis did actually get called for, which became a big story at the free throw line. He's a terrible free throw shooter to begin with, which that's another story. But this has become such a thing, and I keep asking, when has a MVP in NBA history been, or in any sport, been treated with such disrespect? Like, I mean, mocked. I've never seen a guy who was considered one of the best players in his sport openly mocked by people. Mocked. not jeered. This is, they're mocking him, counting down the free throws. You have 10 seconds to shoot it. The crowd seems to always get to like 13 or 14. It sounds something like this. It sounds something like this. Take a listen to this from ESPN Radio.
And that's going to be a problem all night long.
Pretty small guy. Giannis. Great defender.
The Phoenix fans were paying attention.
Here we go. They're going to count to 10 here. And a louder count than I've heard. First free throw from Giannis. Too strong off the heel. Might have even kissed the backboard a little bit.
Barely
that one went off the board.
Right, the free throw. This is the first attempt that he took in the series. And everybody, like, I was wondering, you heard Kessler and also Doris was saying the same thing. Like, let's see. Because it's not like there's any history with Giannis in Phoenix. There's no history. They play each other twice. That's it. So the fact that the crowd picked up, and kudos again to the Phoenix crowd, but they pick up on what the Atlanta fans really picked up on, and it's become a thing now. I feel like this is going to follow Giannis everywhere he goes
it's
now.
Done.
This is officially a thing.
It's done.
It's embarrassing. And if you're like, Giannis, do me a favor. Whatever you do this offseason, win a chip or not, get to the freaking free throw line and put an end to this, because this is ridiculous.
It's done. Atlanta was the first fan base to do it. Because it happened in Miami, and Miami didn't have a chance to chime in.
Brooklyn did it.
Brooklyn did it? Okay.
Yeah, Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn really turned it into a thing.
Listen.
But Atlanta picked up, and Atlanta was the whole building.
His nickname is about to be free throw countdown or, like, violation. Something. Like, this is going to stick. This is done until your man shoots 80% from the free throw line, at which point I am not sure that's going to happen.
Yikes. Yeah, but I just have a problem with that. That is a fundamental skill of the sport.
A problem with his free throw shooting or the fans?
Everything. No, not the fans.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is that it's become so bad, but it's not just the misses. That's different. You know, like, he's going to win somebody a free hamburger in one of these arenas. You know that Philly.
Washington
Philly does that, right?
Free Chick-fil-A in D.C.
Right. Yeah. Chick-fil-A, they always pick somebody. He'll always be picked, and if he misses two, everybody goes nuts. But this is much different. You are one of the best players in the league, and you have fans. They openly mock you about a fundamental of the sport that should be an afterthought. Why do you take so long? And you know it's got to be in his head.
Yeah,
I know he made the second free throw. I get it. But he made it ugly.
Yeah.
I got a problem with this.
Well,
I'm sorry. I got a
Shaq
problem with
couldn't
it.
Shoot free throws.
Nobody mocked him.
I mean,
yes, I know Hack-a-Shaq happened, but nobody openly mocked him for it.
Well, he didn't have time violations.
And I know that's the point. It's not about missing. It's about how long he takes, and everybody knows he's going to miss. So it just turns into now an unnecessary embarrassment.
You know the adjustment is not going to come in season, though. So we got to roll with
it. Oh, it's not going to happen. No, of course not.
However many games
there are going to be left. But it's officially a thing now.
It's definitely a thing. Now, all the smart basketball minds have said, you know, clean up, speed up his routine. I was a 5 dribble, deep breath, knock it down, right? But I also was a good free throw shooter. I think for him, this is the routine as it stands, and it has gotten him to, what, 60, high 60%, mid 60% from the free throw line? So it's not going to change right now. I don't know if it's going to change, period, honestly, because changing that routine, it's just not part of his game.
No, I don't think he's going to change it, but I just think it's amazing that it's become now officially a thing. Like, that's a you don't find it.
I wonder if it'll become reverse psychology, though.
You played a high level of college basketball at Georgetown. You are the third most famous basketball player in the history of Georgetown basketball.
Wow.
And you're climbing up the ladder, by the way, your fame. But it's still, like, you understand that moment on the free throw line is, there's not a lot of moments in sports. You know, you're at bat at baseball, probably, again, all eyes on you kind of thing. But in the sport of basketball, where it's very much the ball's moving, the team, everything's happening, 10 players on the court. When you're at the free throw line,
solo.
Yeah. It's you.
It's just you.
Like, even at the small level I played at, like, I've been in situations where people chant stuff at me. Wasn't necessarily nice, but I thrived. I love that kind of thing. Like, because I'm like, hey, they're paying attention to me. They know who I am. So, for me, like, I banked in a free throw one time when people were chanting things at me purposely, and my coach yelled at me and pulled me out of the game.
Wow.
He was like, what are you doing, you idiot? I'm like, well, I thought I was being funny.
Wow.
But this is something at the highest level of the sport. And it's become like comedy. You don't find that to be embarrassing?
It is. I think it is what it is. Like, he's not a good free throw shooter. If this is the routine that got him to one of his better percentages since he's been in the league, then stay with it. You know what I mean? It's embarrassing for me as someone who shot over 80% from the free throw line. But for somebody that struggles, you got to roll with the punches. I wonder if it becomes reverse psychology and fans stop counting. Like, at this point, counting becomes a part of the routine for Giannis, right?
Can you quickly, I know we don't have much time, can you quickly explain, though, because you said your dad's an official.
My dad's an official, and he's like,
because the crowd gets like 13.
He was beside himself and when it got called in the Miami series. He's like, you don't do that. Like, you warn a guy as official. He was a big relationships with players guy as official. So he was always pulling guys to the side, like, jaw-jagging, whatever. So he's like, you let him know. That's an MVP. Like, you just tell him you're getting close. You don't just call it. So he's literally sitting at home doing the count, you know, to see what the count is. And he was really disappointed that it actually got called, and he's kind of disgusted that it's become a thing. But to me, as a competitor, you take every advantage that you can get. I do not blame Caron Butler one bit. Point this thing out.
Not at all. But it is, like I said, it has become a thing now in the finals, and we'll watch it as it continues. When he's on the road at home, they're very respectful and no one counts. Coming up next, so the beautiful mystery. Will Aaron Rodgers play in week one? Well, we don't know, and apparently he doesn't either. We'll explain next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Spoke to a team source who said the Packers have engaged with Aaron Rodgers and his representatives, and they will continue to try to do so. They know they have to mend relationships.
We want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that. We'll continue to work at it each and every day.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Feel good music right there, Monica.
Absolutely.
Feel good music. That's summer
get
too.
A like
that's
sway going.
Like this is
it's
summer.
So summer.
This is a summer song.
Come
right?
on, you make me happy.
Happy.
Listen, who on the grill?
Yes.
What
yes.
we sipping
that's
on?
What this is the scene where it's like they like it's like the drone cam comes Absolutely. In the backyard. Somebody's at the grill. Some people are sitting. Maybe there's a pool happening.
Yep. See, yeah.
And this is
hon,
this
you know
is
what's
the,
up.
This is the
somebody
song.
Start the electric side with my goddaughter.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn, Monica McNutt. Jay Will's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. And so the along with NBA Finals Game 1 last night was the match.
The match.
Yeah, the match.
Montana looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it actually is. It's God's country, as they say, because it's just it's all sky.
Yeah, it's like
all
untainted.
Sky. It's just yeah, it's. I guess you could say that too. But it's got a really beautiful golf course there, yeah. And you had Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau taking on Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. Who, by the way, Brady and Mickelson are like the probably world class gold medal trash talking duo in the history of golf. Have to be right.
Probably
tremendous.
Sure.
And Brady just continues to just needle Aaron Rodgers about everything going on with him, which is even funnier. But on the broadcast, which is on Turner, yesterday, it was 5 o'clock Eastern, so it was actually early. But Aaron Rodgers was, I guess they saw a bear somewhere on the course. Mm-hmm. So it became an easy way for Brian Anderson to say, hey, speaking of the Bears, Aaron Rodgers, will you be under center in week one? And his response was typical.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? Will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
Okay.
I know you're a Milwaukee guy.
I know.
Aaron, everybody is on their toes. They want to know, man. They want to know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just having a good time out here with Tom. I'm trying to talk to him about it. He's going to keep playing or not, you know?
Hey, Aaron, we go way back. You can just tell me. I'll keep it a secret. Hey, I promise I will not put it anywhere.
Charles, I'll tell you this week in Tahoe.
I'll tell you this week in Tahoe. Charles Barkley always trying to get the story, right? I won't tell anybody. It's just you, me, and a million of our friends or how many people did watch this. But I did find – look, you heard him, of course, I don't know, about week one, about the opener.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this was on Turner yesterday. But then he added something that he kind of said quietly, we'll see, won't we? Is he leaving the door open? Didn't say no.
At this point, I need to be creating a book of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God,
isms.
Right? The Beautiful Mystery is the name of the book.
Let me flip back to yesterday's page.
Yeah.
And I do not quote, this is not a direct quote, the loudest in the room sometimes knows the less or the least.
Yes.
And the silence of the wisdom and a bunch of other gibberish to say absolutely nothing. So, that was from yesterday's chapter in the Aaron Rodgers
this
book.
This is all part of the drama, of course. The soap opera that is Aaron Rodgers, and why not go with some people? We like to talk to those who have at least some intimate knowledge of Green Bay, of the Packers, of Aaron Rodgers, and the whole situation. We bring back Amon Green, a four-time Pro Bowler, of course, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, who was the NFC Offensive Player of the Year in 2003 and a Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer. So those credentials do allow at least Amon to do what we're trying to do, which is decipher what little that Aaron Rodgers said and what it means. So what do you get out of that, though, Amon? And welcome again. Good morning. What do you get out of Rodgers sort of leaving it out there? Just, hey, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Right now, thank you. Well, thank you for having me. But right now, he's going to continue to do what he do, be the smartest guy in the room. So that's why. That's what he said is in code, and he's not going to really say until the action happens, basically. So he's going to sit back and kind of enjoy his bourbon or his whiskey that he drinks and let us speculate like we're doing right now. And for him, he's going to enjoy it. Like, he won a game of golf last night or yesterday. So he's going to continue to do that until the time comes, and we'll see it here in a few weeks where he's going to be, or if it's not at camp, just continue to keep this this holdout thing going as we're looking at it right now.
All right, Amon. So that is all of us reading whatever tea leaves Aaron Rodgers leaving behind. But I'm asking what you think is going to happen come September 12th, because there's a camp out there. Our good friend on ESPN Radio, Freddie Coleman, is a strong believer that he's going to show up for his teammates, for his guys. I don't necessarily feel that way, but what do you think? How do you think that this plays out? Is Aaron Rodgers going to be in uniform for the season opener for the Green Bay Packers?
I mean, it's a very slight chance that he will be there for his teammates, because as we've seen, Devontae, David, guys that have been on the field in the locker room with him understand and they support him. So that might be a little bit there, but for himself, I think he's going to continue to do what he's doing. Demands haven't been made from him, and he hasn't really said a whole lot about his demands, but from that standpoint, it's going to continue to be this. You know, Aaron in Green Bay, Wisconsin, July 28th right now is the starting day of training camp. So until that time, it's going to be what it's been. Him not there in Wisconsin, and the Packers got to move forward, and they've done the moves right now by bringing Boyles in. So they're just making sure they have something, at the quarterback position, a guy there that can, Matt Nick, can help that team, start the season with the quarterback.
How much do you think, Amon, the court of public opinion matters to Aaron Rodgers, meaning the fan base in Green Bay? Mark Murphy had put it out there last month. Oh, he's dividing the fan base. He's creating this idea, rift, where there are some people who are siding with the team and some people that are siding with him. We had Rob Demosky was telling us about signs on lawns outside in Titletown used to say just go pack. Now it's saying, hey, Aaron, go pack, meaning take off. That it's, people are turning on him. You know how passionate that fan base is there. Do you think that matters to him, how people will think of him, treat him, what his legacy would be in Green Bay if he doesn't show up and play and the team starts to lose without him?
No, it does not mean nothing to him. I mean, for the fans, in their opinion, good or bad, if they like him or love him, he's going to do him, basically. He's not trying to, in this whole situation, not trying to disrespect anybody. He's just trying to, you know, be him and understand that. And he mentioned that in that little bit that he had with Kenny Mayne. You know, it's about culture. He talked about it. So that culture is treating athletes like people, that we're not a number. We're not just a big paycheck. You know, play football, be quiet and go play football, or shut up and play football, whatever that's been said to other players in other sports, you know, shut up and play basketball. Remember the comment was made about LeBron. So it's like that. I'm a human being. I got a pulse. And right now, something that happened between conversations or planning, I wasn't involved in that. Maybe I should have been, and here we go. And so this is what I'm going to do. You know, I'm trying not to disrespect anybody, but if you take it as that, I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to do that. That's basically what he's predicting now, acting out here, basically.
Amon, I'm taking notes just to add to my book of Aaron Rodgers interpretation. The section called Interpretations from folks that know the organization. So thank you for adding that today. Let's hop off of this particular squad and stay in the division, though. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Bears, Justin Fields, Andy Dalton. As a locker room guy, let's put it this way. A rookie comes in with lots of promise versus a vet who is, you know, okay, fine. What would you want to see? What would you want to see to be like, yo, coach, it's time to move on to this rookie?
Andy Dalton basically is continuing to not really help us win. You know, when it's come day one, maybe day two, or, you know, in terms of games being played, once the NFL season kicks off, then there's a decline, continued decline of the offense of output. Because we know there is some offense. They have weapons. They have tools. They have players to read, you know, that can make plays. So if Andy comes in and not much has changed, then he's like, all right, let's give it a shot. You know, if I'm a leader on that team, I've been in an organization where I could walk into the head coach's office and say, hey, coach, you know, what are we doing here? Because, like I said, it's been that player, that experienced player that's been there, that's earned the credit to approach Nagy and say, hey, can we, you know, try something different? What's your plan, coach? Because right now it's not working. You know, with Andy Dalton. So hopefully for Andy as a player, I understand it's tough to be in that situation, but if he can go out there and I say perform well, and then when he does with that, he helps Justin Fields out by then, you know, knowing how to play, how to be a pro, how to play through something that where he knows eventually this guy is going to be the starter. So he can learn, Justin can learn that aspect of it, because then also that gives him more experience about being a pro, because at the end of the day, it's about being a pro. And where Andy Dalton is not the first quarterback that's been in a position where a guy's waiting in the wings to be the starter. But you got to go do – you got to be a professional, learn offense, be a teammate to Justin and help him out, but then also know that eventually he might be sitting in the backseat. He got to be ready to go to support him the same way Justin is supporting him as a rookie.
Yeah, it's made right. Be a good vet. And that's something we really haven't talked about on that in that whole dynamic is the idea that if Fields does win it, Andy Dalton went there and getting $10 million, whatever it is, he wasn't doing that to be a backup. Now, he was a backup in Dallas, but he was doing that as sort of to get himself back to a starter position. He thought he had that, but now you never know. Hey, as a running back, you know better than anybody, of course, durability and how tough it is to get through a season with the amount of pounding that the running backs take in a given season. With the added game this year, the 17th game, what position would you say it's going to impact the most when it comes to getting through the grind of one more game, one more week? Would it be running backs, or has that position even changed since you've played that it wouldn't have the same toll? Is it running backs, or is it still the offensive line? Because I feel like for an offensive line, every week, the later in the season you get, the more, of course, precarious it gets. Which position would you say is impacted the most?
I'd say it's going to be probably definitely running backs. Offensive line as well is in that. I bet they're together. I know that because obviously I played, but then also some of my teammates I was really close to were my offensive linemen, because we worked hand in hand together. We were bread and butter at the time of my years in Green Bay. So Marco, Mike Flanagan, Chad Clifton, Mark Tauscher, Kevin Berry, you know, those guys, Mike Wall. I would you know, hang out with them. So I knew their bodies. I knew what they went through. I knew surgeries. You know, I remember Marco Rivera telling me, you know, recently, because we, you know, over the last few years of retirement, we've talked a lot, and he says, you know, almost, you know, 5 or 6 surgeries just on one knee. So to have that extra game, and I know how I felt during a regular season of what we played, you know, 16 games to get to the playoffs, you know, I couldn't wait till sometimes, and generally, my body, my mind is like, all right, we're focused, let's get to the Super Bowl. But when this thing is over, whew, I'm taking a break. I can't wait for 2 weeks where I don't do nothing but sleep, wake up, eat breakfast, and then go back to sleep. You know, it was that time because I was a pinball. And those linemen, fingers, knees, ankles, backs, shoulders, things get beat up, but they play through it. I remember, again, Marco was, again, and a few other guys had MCL tears and played through it until the end of the season and said, you know what? I'll just get surgery when football is done. If I do it now, I don't want to miss out because I want to be here for you guys.
Yeah.
So knowing that, offensive linemen and also defensive linemen neither, because they're on the flip side. Same thing are happening. You know, knees and fingers, ankles are getting beat up and nothing really heal. You know, I remember in college at Nebraska where my left hand was swollen from me getting hit on the same spot, and now I got a callus there. So that's, you know, just thinking, that's college football. But now just thinking about this, you know, 17th game where when I was a rep, when I was playing, that was not even a question at the PA meetings out in Maui. You know, adding extra games because he was like, no, we want to get, you know, restitution for what we do now, playing 60 games. What you doing? What you trying to talk about adding another game or 2 games and taking off preseason? Like, no, we're not doing it. So when it actually happened as a player, I was surprised. I was like, wow, things are definitely changing. But the contact, you know, training camp has scaled back in terms of how many days we hit than to compared to when I was playing. Yeah. You know, I talked to guys now that are currently in the game, and I said, yeah, we had old school rules. They were like, oh, yeah, y'all are, you know, hitting every day for the first 2 days.
The game is
during training camp.
Yeah, and the game has changed so much, and in fact, it's going to change even more now when you have to deal with that extra week. And, you know, your perspective, again, as a player is one that made it valuable, especially as the running back. Come on. Great stuff as always. Good to have you back. Thanks so much.
Yep. Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Amon Green again, 4-time Pro Bowler with the Green Bay Packers on the Goodyear Hotline. So you heard his take on Aaron Rodgers. Wait to hear what one future Hall of Famer said about Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the Packers. We'll get to that after SportsCenter.
Hall gets fouled, spins to the basket and scores. Giannis tried to get it from behind. CP3 at a chance for 3.
That is the point God at work. Because there's nobody in the league who does it better. If he feels a big behind him, he crosses the ball in front of his body. He slows his tempo. He actually draws the foul.
That's Doris Burke and Mark Kessinger on the call on ESPN Radio as Chris Paul leads the Suns to a 118-106 win in Game 1. CP3 goes for 32 points, 9 rebounds. He joins Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Tim Duncan, the only players in finals history to have a 30-point game at the age of 36. Game 2 tomorrow night, and coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio. Sha'Carri Richardson's left off the Olympic relay team now, so she will not compete at all for Team USA at the Olympics. Remember, she did win the 100-meter, but then received a 30-day ban for testing positive for marijuana. Now, the ban would have been lifted in time to compete in the 4x100, but she was not selected by the team. In the match, the latest of those, Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau defeated Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. And during the broadcast, Rodgers was asked about playing week 1. He responded, "I don't know." SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. That's more feel-good music for you, Monica.
Listen, who's responsible for the music coming in out of breaks? You are nailing it this morning.
Forward to September when we have football and when there's, of course, week 1.
Don't rush it.
I don't want to rush it, but I am looking forward to this season. And, of course, if you're in Green Bay, as we were just talking with Amon Green, like it's, it, I mean, there's a lot of anxiety about whether or not you're going to, like, think about the difference of this. It's an MVP. We'll have our MVP back on a team that got to the conference championship, or we got this young kid that we don't know can play, and we could lose to the Lions.
Like, I mean, the Lions.
I mean, seriously, though, like it could be that bad for you.
For the sake
that's
of
an
that,
extreme that yeah, I couldn't handle.
No, it's very extreme. For the sake of that fan base, yes, September, come on, get here.
Yeah.
So we can find out and get a resolution.
And Rodgers saying, we'll see, won't we? Like, I don't know, we'll see, won't we? Like, leaving it out there, just sort of like not giving you any absolutes. He's being very careful
that's
what he says.
That's not new.
No, I know, but it's just he's being, I give him credit, he's being very consistent. But how about and Tom Brady, who really has been needling him the whole way with this since they announced that they were going to have this thing, having fun with him on all the different Zooms with the media. So they had guys mic'd up, and they were talking to him. Again, this was on Turner. This is credit of Turner Sports. Tom Brady basically making it clear, Aaron Rodgers is not happy with his boss. Listen to this.
He's an NBA owner, a self-taught guitarist, and has guest starred in both The Office and Game of Thrones.
He's unhappy with his boss and has no options. Who is Aaron Rodgers?
Ding, ding. That is correct. Well done.
It's a projection, Sam. I never said I'm unhappy with my boss.
I said it, not you.
So wow. Rodgers quickly, right? I never said I'm unhappy with my boss. He never said anything, which is the key here, but I love that Brady not only says he's unhappy with his boss, but he
has
no options.
Very clear. This is another level of petty. This is like an extreme, very rarefied air group of guys that can be this petty and needle one another.
I think.
Well, actually, one way. It's not one another.
But it's Brady saying that. You know they know each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know they talk to each other privately. Brady's not talking out of pocket.
Of course,
you know
not.
This is like, you know, I'm gonna mess with you about this. Yeah, go ahead. Like Aaron Rodgers letting it out. Like, what do you take from the fact that, you know, he's laughing about it, enjoying it, letting it be a joke, letting it stay a joke? Is it because he's not taking it seriously? Is he trying to maybe, like, I don't know. There's also this part of me because I always feel like there's always that hope that maybe he's just I'm gonna make them kind of like make them extremely uncomfortable.
Squirm.
This whole. Get them so uncertain about what they're going to do, and then I'll just show up. I'll show up, and I'll save the day, and they'll love me for it. And I'll get what I – and I'll let them know, don't mess with me again. You know what I mean?
Is there going to be an again? Because if he plays this season, well, are we patching up? We're going to stay
well,
now
they've got to certainly give him an extension and pay him. And I know that money's always going to be part of it. Money's always at the root of everything, right? But, I mean, him like letting this just stay a joke – joking about it.
I don't think it's
constantly
a joke.
Saying, I never said this, I never said that. I just talked about culture and the people and character.
I don't think it's a joke.
Come on.
For Aaron, I don't think it's a joke. Like, I think that he's, I have said.
Who is unhappy with his boss and is out of options.
Out of options is the part.
That's great.
I don't think it's a joke. I think he's willing to, I think this is legit. I really do. And I understand, you know, the logic behind teammates, and this is a unit that could contend if Aaron returns. But to me, why would you make this big of a fuss if you're just going
to
show up?
Because what you're trying to do now is make it clear. It's almost like a parent thing to a kid where you threaten to take something away and you go all the way, and then at the very end, you still give them whatever they were hoping to have, but you make them fear that they're going to lose it. Like, just get them to a point where now, like, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is trying to like here's what life's going to be like without me. You sure you want this? You want this uncertainty? You want this criticism? You want your fan base where they are? You want this for your franchise? Like I said, this is waiting to exhale. This is throwing the match up and burning the car. That's what this is.
So, okay,
walking away like.
Right, so if you're willing to take it to
the edge. I'm burning this whole thing down. Are you sure you want this?
If you're willing to take it to the edge, right?
But then he shows up at the end to be this hero.
But that's what I'm saying. So then you're the hero. What are we doing long term? We're gonna sign and stay with this extension. You're gonna give me everything I want. You go draft me everything I want.
Or I got that one more year, and then now he's got a little more control of his life.
I feel like he's in control now, though. And
is, that's what I mean. He is in control.
Yeah, but if he,
all right, how about this?
I think he loses control if he comes back.
Who stands to lose more? Who stands to lose more? Aaron Rodgers or the Packers if he doesn't play this year? Who stands to lose more?
I think it's the Packers.
Absolutely. Which is why he has the power.
So stay out. Like, let them look absolutely ridiculous. Whether he plays the season or not, Some team is going to come get Aaron Rodgers.
He's got them begging. He's got them nervous. He knows it.
But why stop here? You're right. So why stop here?
Well, because
sit
in
the box and give me a whole Kawhi Leonard in the box in the arena. I forgot who was on the radio. Was it Breen? Well, Kawhi looks so interested, and he clearly was not interested.
Yeah.
Give me the whole posting, traveling the world. Oh, y'all playing football on Sunday? I'm not there. Like, if you're going to go this hard, finish the deal.
Come on, him.
Finish him.
You go Mortal Kombat on me.
Come on.
Him pretending not to know who week one opponent is, right, when Brian Anderson said that to him about the Saints, and he's like, oh, is that who we're playing?
Listen,
split
the difference. Show up week eight. What, 17?
Nah, you're too much of a competitor. No.
Listen, but that's not
– I believe he's too much of a competitor to do that. Monica, again, do you see the strategy? This is a sinister strategy, but I kind of – I'm feeling it right now.
I'm going the next level, though. Like, you're saying come back because you're such a competitor. Okay, that's fine. That's for him. Do you want to be a competitor, or do you want to make this organization
completely
burn? He
will own that franchise if he walks in the building as a savior. And then he looks at, like, Gutekunst, and he looks at LaFleur. He looks at all of them, Murphy, and he's just like, don't let this happen again.
He owns the franchise now.
Who's in charge?
He don't have to show up for a lick.
No, but remember, why is he upset? Because they are never including him in decisions, that they're doing things that he doesn't agree with, that they're making these decisions, whether it's Jordy Nelson, whether it's anybody else, whether it's going with Jordan Love. It's these decisions that they're making that have him, and it's not going for it on fourth down.
We agree.
It's all that stuff, and he's saying, hey,
listen,
you got me.
We agree.
Can I have, I need a say in this thing. I need to have a seat at the table. And you guys don't agree with that.
Hon, you and I agree. I'm just saying, if you're going to do it, chill. Week three, week four. Like, I'm chilling. Like, don't do it. Keep going. He can afford it. They're going to look a hot mess without him. If we're doing this in terms of executing and demonstrating power, then watch what this looks like without me for real. Mm. Not just in the offseason. Get these games. Take these L's. Put this in the record book. Yeah, that was the year I sat out. Y'all play too much. I wasn't playing with y'all.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So the road to training camp continues. Is Aaron Rodgers on that road to the Packers? Well, as he said, I don't know. Well, how confident should you be in your team's chances to contend for a Super Bowl? We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course on the ESPN app.
If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, it's a big disappointment. And if you think about last year again because of COVID, it's really remarkable what they accomplished.
The teams will approach you a little bit differently. You know, you're kind of the team everyone's watching now, so there's different degrees of expectation. There's more external noise.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, what do we have now? Pat, remind me. I'm so excited about the beginning of training camp. I'm losing track already. Are we 14 days away from Cowboys and Steelers opening camp? Right,
that is
14
correct.
Days.
14 days until then. 17 days until the Buccaneers can report.
The Buccaneers,
and
right?
20 days until everybody else.
20. We're that close, Monica. To football.
Training camp's fun.
No, what do you mean training camp?
That was
fun?
So convincing,
right? Way to sell it.
Listen, it's cool. I remember
training
being
camp
a rookie
is
reporter
where it all begins.
In DC,
yeah, and you were on the sideline. And you had your notepad, and then on seven when they're wearing shorts, you're going, "Who did what?" And you're tweeting it out. It gets all exciting.
I also remember
irrational takes on day one of training camp. Go.
Oh my God, so and so's going to be all pro this year.
Exactly.
Liz Clark, though, one time it rained really bad in Richmond. She was so smart. She brought a yoga mat. Because otherwise yoga you're mat. Like, yeah, because otherwise you're sitting in the yucky sideline, like,
true.
You know, like training camp is like not glamorous.
Nothing.
At least
no,
where
nothing,
they're watching
no,
football
no. Football training camp? Yeah, like, no. First of all, you're
seats,
literally
nothing.
Like 500 yards away from anything legit.
Mm-hmm.
You're
like
generally
hands.
Positioned where the kickers are swinging golf clubs. Like, you don't get to
clubs.
See much of anything.
Yeah.
Only just, maybe a little bit of like what they want you to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's where you're situated.
Exactly.
And then you get, you know, availability, and you got to just run around talking to players as they
funny
go.
Funny story, though. One of our colleagues, Ryan Clark, who I love, RC was with Washington one
yep.
of my first years. Mm-hmm. And I had a project to go and get sound for our high school sports show. We were using this opportunity. And RC was so great to me. Like, he chatted with me about the whole thing and
yep.
geared it toward our high school sports show. And it was awesome. But it can be kind of overwhelming. As a rookie, you got this camera and MMJ, multimedia journalist. The guys are coming off the field. You're just kind of grabbing people. But RC was great. That's one of my.
So road to camp.
Camp memories. Road to camp.
We continue with a confidence meter.
Mm.
Teams that will contend for a Super Bowl. Yes, not even in camp, and we're going to tell you who's going to contend for the Super Bowl. And Pat's here to help us with this. Go ahead, Pat.
So I just went on a scale from 1 to 10, how right. confident you guys feel about the Cleveland Browns contending for a Super Bowl this year. Han, we'll start with you.
I'm going with an 8.
I was at 7.
I'm going with an 8. Yeah, 7, 8. Yeah, I'm in that range, 7, 8. I wouldn't put it any higher than that. I do think that... Again, you never know what can happen. I'm not going to say injuries could help, but they usually do. And so because of that, I think they are good enough to get there. Are they good enough to overcome teams ahead of them, like obviously the Chiefs being, you know, one of the main? I don't know yet, but 8, solid 8.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got a little lower at a 7. I mean, this team is very talented, obviously, on both sides of the
loaded.
Ball. But again, all last week and part of this week, we've talked so much about what's going to happen with Baker. Has he reached his ceiling? Mike Tannenbaum came in hot. His ceiling being Drew Brees, who only won one Super Bowl. I mean, it's not
only one. I'll take not, if you're Cleveland, would you take only
I
one?
Say, that's not a
hell
bad
yeah.
ceiling, but
yeah.
I do understand.
Just manage the game, Baker. That's
realistic.
It. He doesn't need to be. He doesn't need to be anything more than a guy that doesn't make mistakes because their running game is that good.
The wrinkle that I'm watching, though, is the return of OBJ. Because have people forgotten that was a whole thing
yeah.
about your superstar receiver, your quarterback,
yep.
like what that balance looked like? If they can figure that out, then this team, to me, is going to surprise some folks.
I like
bit.
It. Okay. Pat?
Monica, from 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Patriots can contend for a Super Bowl this year?
Ooh.
Y'all know Cam's my man.
Cam.
I'm at like a 6.8.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
6.8. It would not... It would be very Bill Belichickian for this squad to have a bounce back year of great magnitude. Cam is reinvigorated. It looks incredible, even if it's the new Cam, right? Like Superman Cam is not quite what he was at his heyday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the retooling. People, we cannot not talk about this team having a league high opt-outs due to COVID and how many guys they got back, of course, in addition
and then
to
the money
all
they spent in free agency.
In addition to everything they did in free agency.
Yeah, again, I think, you know, like Tom Brady last year had to kind of prove himself.
Uh-huh.
I did this without Bill. This is a year where Bill proves himself that I
like
did it without
Phoenix.
Tom, right?
He rises.
But I'm with you, though. Confidence meter wise, like
6.89.
Yeah, 6.89. Yeah, 6.99. Like something like that. Who else we got next, Pat?
The Dallas Cowboys. How confident are you with Dak Prescott that they can contend for a Super Bowl? Please tread lightly. I'm an Eagles fan. Thank you.
We're both in this division, Pat.
7.
Washington football team. Mm-hmm.
7.
5.
Okay, can we turn Han's mic off? Thank you.
No, I
Five.
Just think that offense is really good. They are going up against a couple of – well, Washington's defense is very good.
Let's
in that
go.
Division. The division is always something, but I just feel like they're at that point now where that I think with him healthy, that offense showed you something last year, what it could be. And the defense obviously is still going to be young. But I still think in the NFC, yeah, I'll go 7.
You know what's great about that whole answer that you just gave is that you talked into your hand the whole time so nobody could hear it.
I was doing that for you.
Perfect. Go ahead, Monica.
I'm at a 5, but I will admit there's probably a little haterade in there in that 5. Not even
5.
Hold you. That's low, right? It's Cowboys.
It's too high. Let's get one more in here. The Green Bay Packers, the team we've talked a lot about this hour.
We have to?
How confident are you that with they'll contend
without.
For a Super Bowl?
No.
With
no.
or without?
You don't have that answer.
As
no
currently couching? Constructed.
You don't
as
have that answer.
Two. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is playing. Why come this far to be like, haha, just kidding?
It's not haha, just kidding.
Let it burn.
It's not haha, just kidding. It's basically like, again, it's I'm going to show
but
you
Han,
what you're missing.
So
and now you're
show
gonna,
me. You and I'm with you, but show me. That's like me saying, this is over, right? And then I come back.
I'm taking it right to the edge until I got you begging and pleading, and I'll do anything. I'll do anything, Monica. Whatever it takes.
There's not enough.
I can't possibly start this season with Jordan Love.
You missed the window.
See the look you're making? That's what he's doing right now.
So sit. You got to finish the
look. But there's a part
of
him that still knows that this is the best relationship for me in the end. This is what I got to do.
If he's concerned about father time,
I'm going seven. Because I believe
three.
He's going to be there, and he's going to let him know. Don't do this again.
Nah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.